Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. Andy and I are very excited to be joined by Vince this week from Styles. Vince is an expert video editor and knows a lot about content, and he's going to prove it to you all today.
Expert? Wow, that's a pretty bold statement.
Expert video editor. You're gonna have to prove it though, Vince. And we're going to talk to everyone today about how you can approach video marketing for your business, because it can be pretty daunting if you're just starting up a business or you're looking to sort of grow and expand, and marketing or video editing might not be your expert area. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But Vince, before we get started, do you want to give everyone an introduction to who you are, your history, what you do over at Styles?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Vince. I am the video content producer for Group Style. I mainly do all of the video assets. I used to do mostly YouTube, but I've kind of started to transition into other resources behind the scenes. And I still do YouTube too. So that was kind of a misleading, but yeah, so I kind of do all the, everything video wise is kind of like my forte, right? I'm not the only one. We have a team of videos or videographers here. But I usually like kind of use my kind of unique talent when it comes to like storytelling and post-production and kind of piecing together, making something that's a little more than just education, right? Like actually like telling engaging stories is like something I've always been passionate before, well before I started working here. So that's something that I like to kind of bring to the table with our work here.
I think that's a good point, actually, because I think in the industry we work in and the company that we work for, it gets quite easy to, from a YouTube perspective, I know we had this conversation the other day about just making the same video over and over again for the sake of telling people how to use the product. But then when it comes to actually putting a creative flair into it, which is what our customers would need to do to market their business, that's kind of like a whole other side to being a creative, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between, I feel like, just like making a video and you know, making an engaging story or piece. Like, so the thing is, it's kind of crazy is like whenever I was like, you know, coming up, like, you know, when I was a kid, like I always wanted to do this, but no one else was really doing it, right? Like, it's weird to think that just like 10 years ago, you know, video wasn't nearly as big as it is now. Like, I mean, there was still Instagram and you had your pictures and Facebook, right? Like, but there wasn't a lot of like regular people doing video, right? Like now anyone could just, you know, they could just pull out their phone and they could shoot like a 4K, you know, really nice piece, like just with their phone. And then they could get millions and millions of views on TikTok and Instagram. So it's kind of made it so like people like me, like we really got to like bring something to the table, right? Cause we can't just like say, well, I can do video. Well, great. Well, like my 8-year-old niece can do video too, right? So like you got to have something that separates you, and I think that is kind of like the challenge of what like modern day video people are kind of like trying to figure out and navigate how we can keep a competitive edge in what we do and makes our stuff cut above.
There's so many different types though as well, isn't there? So like you mentioned the YouTube side of it, but people are employed just to be YouTube video editors. But even when it comes to that platform, there's so many different categories and like niches that people edit for. You've got like the short form, like comedy vlogs, you've got the like more long form documentary stuff. And then people also are employed to be full-time video editors for like social media. And again, there's like 3 or 4 different platforms that you have to know inside out to produce successful content for that. And we'll get into talking about that in a little bit, because obviously there's a lot that goes into each and every platform and they're all different.
Right.
But from a beginner point of view, is there anything that springs to mind straight away that like you would advise people to do or to like look for if they are first starting out? Because there's so much that you have to consider, and like where would you start?
I think for like someone that has like an apparel decoration business specifically, I think the first thing that you want to do like in general before you even think about video but it obviously will lead to video, is like kind of finding a niche. That's something that I did a piece with one of our Stalls ambassadors actually over in Pennsylvania. His name is Trevor Murphy. He was a big Transfer Express user, and he basically specializes in disc golf shirts, which I wasn't really even like familiar with the sport at all until like I met him. So that's like about as niche-y as it gets, I feel like. But he also does other stuff too. But basically he was explaining in this piece, this interview that we did, where you really want to like find a niche, and that may take time. Like you might not have it right away and you might like change that. But I think it's really hard to like focus and be successful if you're, you know, spreading out like amongst all these different areas, right? And then so for video wise, I think that if you find like a video type that you're good at, that could help, right? And you know, so some things to maybe think about is like, do you want a face for the brand, right? Like do you want to like be the person that is like associated with the brand? Like that's something that we have worked with here at our company. We have these recognizable faces. I mean, you two, obviously, for Stalls UK, like people come to you and they kind of like are coming to you for specific like content, right? Like, cause you're a recognizable face. When I started, I worked really, really hard. I started Transfer Express and I worked really, really hard with Dave Connor to make him the face of that brand. So now like when you come to look for information from Transfer Express, you're looking at it from him and his unique way of delivering it. You know, really positive, high energy. And then the Stalls brand, well before I was here, like they've been doing that, establishing that since like 2009 on Stalls TV. You know, faces like Josh Ellsworth, Jenna, Kelly Walters. You know, these are all people that kind of have their own unique style, right? So that's something I would say to think about. Like, do you want to have a face for your brand? And then if you do, like, is it necessarily going to be you, the business owner, or do you want to get someone else to do it? Like, you know, some things to think about. I'm sure like people are on limited budgets before. It might be hard to like go hire like a face, right? But like, I mean, people like friends or family, you know. And then think about like what, I guess think about what story you want to tell. You know, if you're like a streetwear brand, you probably should have, you know, be relevant in the streets, or like at the very least, like go shoot in the streets and get some models. They're saying like you're a fashion brand, you probably want to be able to like actually have, you know, people modeling it, right? If you're like, you know, there's so many different avenues, right? But that what I would say, that's the first thing, even before you get into like technical stuff, right? Like figure out what you want, you know, figure out what you want to do. Figure out what story you want to tell for your business, and then like the technical stuff is like secondary.
I think that's a good point, and something that's apparent to me whenever I speak to customers is because there's nearly always a story behind every single company. Like if it's brand or fulfillment, chances are you've become an entrepreneur. It's an entrepreneurial nature, and that comes with some hardships, or comes with some struggle, or comes with just trying to change your scenery or your direction in life, then that's often where the heat press or kind of garment decorating comes in hand. So I think it's always, people always a little bit like, oh no, no one's interested in hearing what I've got to say. But when I start to speak to these people thinking, well, I want to hear about this story, because even in this 5-minute version you've given me, it's really interesting. And I would buy into you as a brand if you were pitching that to me as the end user for decorated garments.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the way that you tell that too, like you could have like something that people are really interested in, but if you don't know how to tell it, it will fall apart. Like, I think a good example maybe would be like, let's say like I was on my way to the grocery store and then like some crazy event happened. Like there was some kid that like almost got hit on a bicycle or something. When you want to tell that, you probably want to skip away from the parts about, well, when I got into my car, I started the engine and I put it in gear and I left. And then I drove down the road here and then, oh, this kid almost got hit by a bike. And then I went to the grocery store and I got my, like being able to focus around what you think the customer is going to be most interested in, I think is really key to, like, don't, you know, I think we all like tend to think that like everyone's interested in everything that we're interested in, but that's not always the case. So being able to be self-aware, and then I think identifying like what engages people the most, and then cutting out the fat like around it, right? And just focusing on like the stuff that people are going to engage in most, I think is something that takes time too.
I think a lot of that as well is trial and error, right? So like you could think in your head, oh, this is how I'm going to make this particular video. This is going to do really well. Like this concept, I can see it really clearly. Make a few versions of it, depending on what it is, you know, social media, YouTube, whatever. But then your audience might not engage with it, and they might not, you know, respond to it very well. But that's okay, because one of the things that I try and get across to our customers all the time is that these things take trial and error, whether it's figuring out which garments you want to print on, whether it's figuring out how you want to market your business, whether it's trying to figure out who you want to be the face of your brand. The first time you do something, it's never going to be perfect. The first podcast we did, was the audio was terrible and it was very blurry, and I do not like looking back on it at all, but we wouldn't be sitting here now having these conversations if we hadn't have just gotten out there and done it. So I think a lot of that is trial and error to begin with, and being okay with producing something that might not go down very well or might just kind of not get many views, and being like, okay, well, we'll try something else now.
Exactly. 100%. You can't be afraid to fail or put something bad. And no matter what you do, the beginnings are always going to be rough. No matter what, you could be a prodigy. Like you could be, you know, Spielberg or Kubrick, like when it comes to video, right? Like their first projects are going to be just as bad, right? Like, so you can't be discouraged by that. And for your business, like, you know, if your videos like come out bad, problems with the audio, I mean, we still have problems today, like with audio and stuff. Like it's always like, you know, it's always something, right? Like you can't be discouraged by that, or like let it get you down, or like think you shouldn't be doing video for your business anymore just because you had a bad experience. Like just learn from it and move on. I think that is like really, really good advice.
So from a concept perspective, then, you're talking about how you sort of think about putting a video together and what like your main focus point is going to be. Say you have a video idea for Styles that you're planning, and you're going to see it through the actual pre-production, shooting, editing, and then seeing it through to being published. What is your creative process to go about making something that might be an idea in your head or a plan on paper come to life in video format? Like how do you go about that from start to finish?
Yeah. So the first thing I do to start is I try to see if it's been done before. So that's always like the first thing. Like when I have an idea, like I want to see like, is there something that is similar that I could compare it to, so that I at least have a foundation and I can kind of like, you know, I don't have to start everything from scratch. Cause I mean, I love, like, I think that when it comes to like creative work, like, you know, it's kind of a labor of love, like in terms of like, usually the best stuff is going to take the most work. Like when you have a completely fresh original idea, like that's really hard to do in any field, forget video, like just like coming up with something on your own. I think it is harder than, and less people do it than we think. I think there's a lot of like most people's jobs and most people, what we do is like really copy paste because it's so much easier. And I do that a ton too. With my stuff, I'm not vilifying people for that. But you know, so anyway, so that to how like I kind of start an idea is I usually like look to see if there's something like that. And then I take pieces from that and I try to come up with like my own, you know, my own stuff and like apply it to however. So for example, we're coming out with a new series like customer stories for Styles that's going to be on Styles TV. And the first episode was with Whisper, a streetwear brand called Cash Cows. I'm actually wearing their shirt. So they do like all cow print stuff, which is like, it's really unique, but, and you know, it's never been something that I've been exposed to before. But like it's been, his business has been taken off, right? Because like I said, he found his niche and like he got an audience and he got some celebrities that to wear his clothing, which will all be like revealed in the episode. But for that, for this idea, like I wanted to, you know, I've never done like street wear stuff or anything. So I was looking for some inspiration. And then there's a company that does really good videos called Vice. They're like a huge like YouTube content creator. And I just loved like their style of like how they did like their documentaries and stuff. Cause I've done documentaries before. And obviously for Stalls, we've done a lot of like customer stories and testimonials before, but I wanted it in like a raw, like authentic way that like really leans into the person's personality. Because this guy, Romo, he's got like this crazy personality. Like he's awesome. He had the shades on and everything through the whole video. And I wanted him to be the spotlight. Right. And like just figuring out how to do that. So do your research, find stuff that you like. And then, I would say after that, I always like to like have like a shot list. Like I understand that like not everyone that's watching this right now is going to be like, you know, trying to make like a Hollywood film. But like, I think like even in general, like just for your business's content, it's always good to do some prep before you go shoot. Like I wouldn't just take the camera out and start firing and hope it goes well, right? I would always like have a plan, even if it's like just a basic like shot list or outline, right? Like of like just your ideas, like what you want to show. And that'll help you like stay organized, I think, when shooting. A full shot list is always great, but like sometimes like it, you know, you just got to go. So definitely do some prep beforehand. If you're doing like something where you're talking, I would definitely like at least make an outline. So that would be kind of like how I would go into that. And then shooting wise, I would say, you know, always more is better. Like, you know, it's always better to have more stuff and then throw it away later than it is to like get leave and then not have enough. And then you got to reshoot. And then sometimes if you're like on a location or something, you can't reshoot, right? So don't be afraid to get more stuff. You know, if you don't feel like going through it all, you can always just delete it, right? Like, but it's better to have it because, you know, once you leave, you're done. So I always try to shoot more and get like a bunch of different angles, right, of your stuff. You know, just general kind of advice, I feel like. And then the editing, that to me is like, that's the process that, the editing is the process where I think is like, the most impactful, actually, to be honest, in terms of like what separates. I mean, obviously the content is the king, right? But like how you present it, that's all done in editing. Like what story do you want to tell? How do you want to present it? And that is just like, you kind of just got to, there's not huge advice for that because everyone is like so different with their edits, how they do stuff, right? So I would say for that, just kind of focus on keeping it for your business, at least like just like what I talked about before, just keeping like the most engaging stuff, making sure that's shown, have that first now, because attention spans are really short now, right? Like I've been talking now for like probably 3 minutes already, like so people are probably already starting to tune me out. So like having, you know, making sure that you are putting your best stuff forward, like in the front, right? Because that's going to be the most key time to get someone's attention. So and then posting it, yeah. So that's kind of like a long-winded answer of like how I do a video. And like, obviously there's a lot of like key details that I'm leaving out, but I think that, you know, that's kind of the gist of it. You know, see if it's done before, do some prep work, shoot as much as you can. And then I would say just for editing, just like focus on the most engaging stuff. Don't be afraid to have a sharp knife.
The prep work is really important. I think especially for a lot of people who'll be listening, you probably are going to be doing a very sort of lo-fi version of what might be done is, you know, even when I remember when we first did a lot of our videos here, when Molly first started, is like,
please don't, I still have PTSD from that.
But the simple things like just have like a big piece of paper in front of you with like at least like your website and things like that, because like you'd be surprised at the stupid things you'd forget. Because you're not used to being on camera, you'd be like, "Oh, I didn't even give the product name," because you're so used to being in the zone own business that you're like, "Oh, I should probably say that." But if you have it like shorthand, at least you can just at least be like, "Oh yeah, I better like say over record, just do a few different versions of everything, just you know, start from the beginning if you have to, but at least you have it in case you wanted it later on that way."
Yeah. So I got a question for you guys. So can you guys tell me? Yeah. It's gotta be a two-way street, right? So like, so I've said you know, obviously off camera to you guys before that, I very much admire your studio. I admire what you guys have established, your look, you know, your personalities, you know, your different, the podcasts like this, like, have been great. And then your other content too. So like, what was the journey like starting that up? Right. Like, how did you guys, you know, I'm assuming there was a point where it wasn't like this cool when you guys didn't have these cool lights. Right. Like, so what was that? Can you, like, I know that's a really long question, but like, can you tell the audience, like, kind of how you started to get to where you become?
I think when Molly, when Molly first started, I mean, we have pretty similar sensibilities in regard to what type of content we want to put out there from an education point of view, from a style, and just to be quite video first with a lot of things we do. But I think there was definitely a period of time when we, like, we have the idea, but we didn't really necessarily get started because, like, no one really wants, you know, neither of us are trained actors that are used to being on camera.
It wasn't in my contract when I joined that I had to be on camera. That's all I'm going to say.
And I think at one point we're just like, let's just go do a live video. So before we built downstairs, so quick history lesson is that all the offices used to be where we are now. And it was a very old building and it needs to be redone. But to do that, we had to build upstairs first, move everyone upstairs. But it was a bit of a labor of love getting that built. So we're like, okay, we need a bit of time off before we do the downstairs. But we're like, well, we can't wait to start doing videos. So we were doing, let's just go live. We can't do film because we have a 3x3 office, I think it was done in.
It was a tiny space. Smallest room. It was like a shoebox in terms of filming, because by the time you put like a table in there, a tripod and some lights, like, we couldn't fit in there. Like, it was horrific.
So there was no room to really do your product video as such. You could barely even get like the camera far enough back to actually get everything in frame. So
no.
Very basic. Well, we could do a live video. Let's just try doing a live video.
Do you remember the first live that we did, and we had this like really wobbly table, and Andy did this thing where he was like leaning on the table, and he kept sitting back and then leaning on the table, and this whole time this came in, and I just kept looking at him like, I just can't say it. I'm just going to leave it.
So I would say that in the end we just like rip the band-aid off. Let's just go and do it.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of did the first couple. And then I could tell that Molly was like...
You forced me into it, basically.
No, I didn't force her into it. I think she was like, oh, that wasn't very good. I'm going to do the next one, basically. She never said as much, but I could just tell her energy and her motivation had kind of went a little bit higher about the videos. And then I think in the end, we just kind of kept geared each other on, because it meant like, okay, well, she did one, I'll do one. And then, so we kept on doing the lives for probably a couple of months, I think, before downstairs was ready so we could actually come down and shoot. And at that point, okay, we've done it a few times. We've proved we can do it. People actually watched. You know, it's always a good point.
Yeah, that's
good
the first
point.
Hurdle, wasn't it? Have you got an audience?
People had questions for it. So then by the time we came down here, we kind of worked out a few kinks of what was going wrong. And I think, like, okay, the kind of snowballed a bit from that point. I think Molly got her camera confidence and also editing confidence up quite a bit, and like got stuck into it.
Yeah.
So then we could get more and more out quite quickly that way.
I think as well, the biggest thing for us is that within, obviously it's different in America because you guys have been doing this for years and doing it well, and you already made your mark in the industry as like the leaders in education, but no one was doing that over here. So we sort of had a finite window of opportunity to establish as being like the number one educators over here. And I think it was more of a project point of view. I mean, I'm similar to you, Vince. I'm a creative and I really like getting my teeth stuck into projects that I can take ownership over. And I think when I saw the opportunity to do something that I knew I'd always wanted to do and sort of have the creative freedom as such within, obviously staying within like brand guidelines, but we have a lot of creative freedom over what we do. And I think that comes across as to how much we actually enjoy what we do every day to our audience. I think that makes a big difference.
But I think ultimately what it came down for me is kind of essentially being responsible for, you know, the web sales of Target as it was in Nil Styles now is like, if we don't go and do this, we are essentially the reason for not being as successful as we could be. That's kind of what it came down to.
This product. I'm so glad you never said that to me at the time, because it would have really freaked me out.
But the products we have, the business we're in, it's practical, it's show and tell. So if we don't do this, we're going to be less successful. It's quite, it is as black and white as that for us, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. We had our humble beginnings too, actually, whenever I started at Transfer Express. It wasn't it wasn't that bad. It wasn't a closet. But I remember when I started, the video, like the room where we did the videos, it was this giant, like, it was basically this big storage room in a warehouse at Transfer Express. And the audio, it was just like you were in like a church hall, right? It was like this echoey audio that we had going on. And then every 2 minutes you would hear from the forklifts like going through. So like that was really challenging in the beginning to like get through that. And we steadily made improvements. Like we redesigned that studio, we got soundproofing up, and then we had this backdrop before when it was just like a trade show background. And I was like, eh. So we changed it to like a black background, and eventually we constructed a whole like studio, actually. And it was done by like the people that worked in marketing at Transfer Express in Ohio, Jacob Ayers, Michael Romano. Like they all work like behind the scenes at Transfer Express, and they all built it from scratch. And it was just like, it was really cool to like to go from that. And then actually we moved to another building too. So we moved to another building, and then when we were making this move to another building, they proposed the studio be in like half the size that it was. And then I was just, me and the other videographer, we were just like, no, we are not allowing this to happen. Like we like literally like went to the builders of, or like the construction people, and then went to like the head of, we talked to the head of Transfer Express, and that we were just like, listen, like, no, like we need to, we're not going to go backwards, because like you said, like this work is so important, right? Like we're the intro in the face to a lot of people, right? And so like it's not something that should be, you know, slept on, right? Or like put in a closet or whatever. So it's awesome to see you guys, like how you guys have come up like from like a closet to like what I genuinely think is one of like the coolest studios, especially in like the apparel decoration world. You know, we're primarily here to educate people for sure, but I mean, I think that stuff matters. Like, I mean, like if I just wanted education, I could pick up an encyclopedia, right? You know, like that's education, but like that's not always going to get the message through because it's not engaging. So I think doing stuff to engage people helps people learn more, and it makes people, you know, want to come back and truly embrace like the work that they do. So awesome stuff.
So Vincent, because we want to make sure that this is something that people listening who probably have not got the luxury of having someone like yourself on the team, unfortunately, but they could definitely learn from you.
You're going to make me blush.
If you're
the luxury.
I'm going to put a post filter on that. So
you can
get that
bright
red.
Oh, God.
Let's assume probably that most people listening to, like, okay, I've listened to Vince, I'm going to go and do it next week, I'm going to start filming. But really, to get started, what would you recommend that they actually need that's reasonable for people? Because I think most, like you said earlier, most of it could be done on a camera. But is there anything that you would say is like a non-negotiable that's not an outrageous cost that most people could perhaps afford?
You talk about equipment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that honestly, to start, like you can do a lot with your phone now, to be honest. Like, right. So, I mean, I don't know if it's worth like just starting to invest in the camera, unless you're like, I would say do it, start with like your phone first, right? And then see how it goes. Because like, it's like I said, it's like we said before, like, you know, the content and the story is king, you know, like camera angles and like shot depth and, you know, like that's all like great and important, but it's not as important as the content that you're putting out. And sometimes that actually took me a while to learn that, to be honest. You know, I would get so obsessed when I would do like college films. I would think of scenes, right? I would like think of like these great scenes. And then a professor that was really brutal for me at Penn State, she was like, yeah, that's great. You have a bunch of pretty scenes and they don't mean crap. So, you know, I focus on like the content. So in terms of equipment, I would go to phone to start. And then I would, if you're talking a lot, it would be worth it to me to invest in a mic, something like, actually I have it right here. That was great. Like something like a little, like lav mic. Like this was really cheap. Like this was like, I think it was like $75 on Amazon, in $75. So like, I think that having clean audio is honestly more worth the investment than the video. I think that the phones do a ample job of like getting basic video, but like if you like have your phone like here, if you're filming and then you're sitting way back here or you're moving around, like you just saw it here. Like if I go over here, like it's a lot harder to listen to me right now than when the microphone is right here, you know, basic stuff like that. And you can't do that if you don't have a separate mic. Right. And so I think that having a clear voice for your audience to hear is worth the investment, absolutely, to start out with. So I pick up like a lav mic, pretty cheap. And then you could have an adapter that hooks into your phone, although that's been dodgy. Molly and I have had problems with that before when we did a live stream, but I'm sure like maybe not do a live first. Like that's probably some good advice too, right there, is don't start out with a, I wouldn't go live first. I would do the opposite of what you guys did. I would not do a live to begin with, because if something's screwed up and they can't hear you or whatever the case is, then it's bad.
Did we even have mics when we first went live?
We did, but I don't know if you remember, we did have a bit of an issue on the first ever live that we did.
We have many issues.
So we were doing, and we didn't just do a live, we were like, oh, let's do a live with a partner on the first live. So I don't know if you remember,
we
did it with Beachfield a long time ago.
Was, so yeah.
With Hadley when he was there. And we did a test run, everything was fine, working great. And go to go live about 10 minutes before live. And we used to have we had like a TV on a stand over there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I can't see what's going on. Oh, don't worry. And I was like, oh, don't worry, I'm about to share my screen. But what I didn't think was that and we muted the TV so it didn't make any noise in the background. But because I was sharing my screen, I was sharing the audio. So the speaker was being shared to the TV, which was muted. So like we pretty much go live. And I'm like, I can't hear the other person. I couldn't figure it out. So you're going to go live at 12. You've got to go live at 12. So, and what I had to do was I had my headphones. So I got like an AirPod or something like that in one ear. So like, well, I'll just stream it off my phone so I can still hear what's going on because I've got to go live now. But there was a delay of about 30 seconds from when you're on StreamYard when it's actually happened to when it's actually been received by someone external. So if I was watching live,
it was a nightmare.
So I basically had to, because we knew what we were talking about. We're like, okay, we're doing five products in this order.
Yeah.
I just basically had to like watch his mouth. And when he stopped, I knew that then I could speak. And then I'd be hearing his voice like 30 seconds delayed. So I'd be talking over myself while I'm trying to speak out. But it was because of we didn't test the speaker and the audio situation enough.
So like, I actually remember whenever we had, we do a series like called Toast to Transfers we did, and we would go live. And like, that was like, it always seemed like something would just like always catastrophically go wrong. Like you couldn't hear someone, or like, you know, the camera would go out or the internet would go out. And we had this weird problem where like it would desync. So like my mouth would move and then it would be like delayed. Like when I would like talk, like the video or the audio would come in later. And that one, like, it was funny. Like when I started, like it was just a webcam. That was it. It was just like it was like this webcam from like 2009. That was like the video. I was like, you know what? Dave and I were like, yeah, we could probably like hook a regular camera up. Like, so like the lives have, I think, honestly been the biggest improvement that we've seen, like from our stuff. I mean, it's still never perfect, but I remember like in the beginning, it was rough, like for lives. It was almost like not worth it. Like, and like a lot of the times, like we did our webinars and the webinars would be great. But like, usually when we started, it was just like a PowerPoint because it was just so like scary and like not worth trying to mess around with anything else. And then we went from that to doing these grandiose, you know, big shows. I mean, we did like the, you know, I think last year you guys did the Global Masterclass, and I thought that went like amazing. Like, and that's big league stuff, I feel like. And that's stuff that like a company, like a heat printing company, you know, that's not really something that would have been their forte, like maybe a couple years ago. So yeah, really cool stuff. And then real quick, just to finish on the equipment stuff, I know we kind of got sidetracked, but definitely get a mic. And then you want to, it depends on like where you are, but definitely do something with the lights. Like, I don't think you really need to, you don't have to buy lights. Actually, there's a really good video. It was actually the second video I ever did for Stalls. It was t-shirt photo tips, how to take good photos with just your phone. And it was like basic, like $20 stuff, like a just a white bounce card. And then we put the t-shirt by the window and just bounced like the window light on it. Like, I think stuff like that, like, it obviously it translates to videos too, right? Like, I think that, you know, for stuff that we do, like, obviously we all like go on camera, right? But I think a lot of businesses like would probably just want the product to be the focus. And for that stuff, like, you know, just like something as simple as like diffusing the light with like a, you know, a bed sheet. Like right now, like if I like turn the camera around, let's see if I can do this. Like this is my lighting setup right now. It's just a bed sheet that I taped to the window, right? Like, and it doesn't look that bad, right? Like, so you don't have to spend a whole lot of money like to have good lighting, as I we've gone low budget now.
So Vince, the fourth wall's been broken, is recommending bed sheets for lighting. That's how my intro to this has really done a 180.
yeah, right, maybe not what you guys were expecting. Yeah, I think you need to go buy you know, 3-key light setup. I mean, and you like, I'm not saying like don't do that, right? Like, I'm just trying to think of like when I started, like I had no money, right? Like, so like I'm trying to like give like ways to like get the best results for the littlest amount of money, because you know, I think that not everyone has that, right? Especially if you're like trying to start a business, you want to put the money into other things, I think. Mm-hmm. So simple tricks can help you out, but definitely like do something to diffuse the light in a way. And there's like so many like YouTube videos out there of like how to do that. Like, I would be way worse than like if you go on YouTube, like cheap ways to light stuff, cheap ways how to do sound, like, right? Like, there's endless supply of resources you can find on the tube for that.
It's more important just to get started, I think. That way, you know, don't put an excuse in your way, get started. In terms of from an editing perspective though, but you can achieve quite a lot of that just on your phone as well. If you've got it as a, you know, one continuous video, you could do the majority of it, I would have thought, from the video or from a cheap phone app perhaps as well, to get started that way. Because I think, to me, that seems, you know, if you can get past the kind of fear of being on camera, that's one thing. But actually, I think where people are most likely to come unstuck or most likely to kind of use it as an excuse to not post the videos because I haven't finished editing it. Or like, but is there any tips you give to someone, say someone is just shooting it on their phone? I mean, cutting, like you say, cutting out as much as more than you think you would need is a very good thing. But is there any kind of practical advice you'd have for editing on a phone?
That's tough with me because I'm like a victim of what you just said, right? Like I still struggle with that, like just knowing when to call it, and just because I always feel like when it comes to the editing, like, the amount it's always like the more time, the better it is. So it's a matter of like, how much time are you willing to put into it and how much time can you put into it? And then balancing that, right? And like being realistic and saying like, okay, like admitting that something is what it is. That's something I've always struggled with way before Stalls. Like I've always been like a little bit of like OCD, like, and obsessive with my edits, because I feel like that's the last step. Like, that's the final buck. Once you're done with the edit, the video is done and it's out there forever and you can't get it. I mean, I guess you could get it back. You could delete it. But like, the point is that like you're moving on after that, after you're done with the edit. So I think that, number one, not everyone's going to be like that. Probably most people aren't like that. But I think that my advice would be for like a regular person editing is, number one, being done is always better than being perfect. Like that's just the reality, right? Like it's nothing's ever going to be like 100% perfect. So don't be ashamed. Like, like the video isn't absolutely perfect. If you've worked on it now, if you look at the clock and it's been hours, like just go, like it's done. Right. And then I think that the other advice would be, try to, I already said like focus on like the stuff you think is most engaging, but I would suggest after you like cut it, right? Like cut it to what you want, show it to someone else if you can before you post it. If you can have like a friend or something and then watch their reaction, like see what they're reacting to. When I was a kid, I, you know, I've been like doing video editing since I was like 9 or 10 years old. And like, I would, you know, make my own little stories and then I would show my mom like the video. Right. And then I would play it for her and I would watch, when would she like get distracted and like go do something else? Like when would she like sit there and like laugh, right? Like little things, right? Like take note of that and don't ever get like offended by someone's feedback, right? Like always take it objectively. Unless, I mean, maybe that's like an overstatement. There could be something really bad, but like for the most part, don't take feedback personal. Like even if it's something that you really believe in, like a really thought. Like actually, like to be transparent, a good example was one of the things I've been working on for like a long time now is new Hotronics assets. I felt that the brand really, they preach innovation, and I felt like the videos were not innovative. I think that they looked more like, you know, industrial than they were technology. And I thought that the brand needed to have like a tech look to it. And you know, I had these ideas and I was inspired by like Apple when they do like some of their product releases in particular with their VR goggles. And I tried to apply that and I tried to like do the fly around like the kind of thing. And I spent a long time editing it and I thought like, oh, this is so cool, cutting edge. And then like my supervisors, yeah, this is really distracting. Like, and I'm like, because it's like wobbling all over the place. It's like, it's a lot of like movement. And I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. Like it was just because I got so caught up in, you know, this idea. And then like, but to have someone else take a step back and like that wasn't married to that idea that you have in your head and just look at it for what it is, I think is so valuable because that's how a person's going to watch it. They're not going to watch it from your eyes. They're going to watch it from their eyes. So another long-winded answer, but when you're doing your edits, always think about the person that's watching it that's not you. And I think the best way to do that is to have someone else look at it when you're done. And then in terms of like actually doing the editing, like the actual process, like, you know.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that's tough. That is a whole other conversation. I mean, like in terms of like technically how to do it, like on your phone, I would, you know, cut up your clips and then like post it like, or like put it on like TikTok or like Instagram and there's a lot of great tools that they do now. They've gotten so much better at that. I remember when I first started, that was like, they were not like super polished with that yet. It was so frustrating. I would try to edit something on Instagram and then like my phone would like I would get a text, I go to text and then I go back to it and it was all gone. And I would just like throw the phone. I was like so mad, but they got so much better at that. So, yeah.
But that there's some good advice wrapped in there as well about in perhaps giving yourself specific time to do it. You know, most of the people who we're talking about here have a full-time job. So we're talking like an hour a week to kind of get a lot of this done, maybe a couple hours if you're lucky, or if you're prepared to spend your weekend doing it because you know it's a good idea. But actually, you know, there's apps you can have on your phone where you can basically say, don't let me use this app for an hour, something like that. So like we'll put it on like sleep mode so no one can text you for during that hour. Like I'm just going to sit here, I'm going to clip the bits up and I'm going to put them in act 1, 2, and 3. and then I'm going to post it, because that way there's no distractions, there's no excuses. You just kind of keep it simple, keep it very focused. You know, don't let anyone phone you. Turn your emails off and just concentrate on this, because otherwise it will never get done.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. And like, if you find yourself really struggling, I think, to edit, like if it's like, it's just like the worst thing in the world and you hate it, like try making the stuff like shorter, like, yeah, you know, don't make it so that you have to edit this grandiose video, like do something simple. And then like, once you get more confident with that, then you can make it more complex and more in depth. Right. Like, so yeah, absolutely. It's like putting the time aside. I have those appers, those app blockers too, on my phone, the screen time thing, like to keep me from going off. It's weird. My niche, you know what? Yeah, we ain't gotta get into it. Like what I like to do with my, we ain't gotta get into like what I like to do on my phone on my spare time. And that probably sounded way worse than it is. On, Vince? Auto trader. Cause I'll just look through, like, I don't know. I just like always like looking at cars, like, and like trying to like look at stuff that I'll probably never actually get, but just like imagine that I have it. like an Audi or something. Like I know you just got picked up an Audi, and I just like I think in Europe it's probably like better, it's easier, but like here it's like you just get like, I mean, if something goes wrong with your Audi, it's like no one knows how to work on it. You got to go to a dealer. It's just like, it's a rough time. Like, so yeah, that's a side tangent, but anyway.
So one thing, kind of, because not an easy way, I don't want to simplify what you two do, but like a helpful way to make the edit a little bit easier for you is going back to your what you mentioned earlier about having a plan and writing out what you want to achieve. So that way, if you achieve what you set out to achieve, it might be easier to put those pieces together in the edit.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of, you know, thinking back to like trying to get everyone is listening to tell their story, because I really want people listening to tell their story. If you were, you know, going off to one of the customer shoots that you do or the HeatPress transformation series, when it comes to you kind of learning about that, the person you're going to visit and film, do you have like an interview process or a process of learning about that business that perhaps people could apply to themselves, like certain questions you like to know about them that they could write down, and perhaps if I write down these answers and then, you know, give a long form piece to camera about who I am and what we do that they could perhaps use as a starting point to telling their story?
Wow, that's a really good question. I like to ask, and I think it's always good to ask, I think, like where, how you started, like what made you want to start it? Because I think that in turn could tell a big story right there. Like, not everyone's going to have a crazy like startup story. Like some people, like we did one of those HeatPress transformation videos that you were referring to, was in San Diego with Duds by Dudes. And when I asked him that, his answer was literally like, oh, I just wanted a business. I want to make money. Like we just did it for beer money in college. Like, you know, not the answer I was inspiring answer I was looking for, but that alone is interesting because, you know, if that was your goal, just to have like beer money or whatever, like it's crazy to me that it spun from that to something to now he's fully invested in this business that has like over 100 employees and is like one of the best, you know, biggest fulfillers down there in the West Coast, right? Like, so that alone is like kind of a cool story right there. Even and then some people have really inspiring stuff, like, you know, how they always wanted it, or it was like for charity. One of our own companies that we have, we just recently acquired, that's part of the Stahl's family, Fulfill Engine. Jason Tompkins talks about his company was for startups, like and like GoFundMes and you know, fundraiser stuff. Like that's how he started. And obviously he spun it into this crazy business. So I think that's always interesting to hear that. That alone could be a great story for your business, something you can market. Another question I think is like, what do you think customers can come to you for uniquely? Like, what is that, like, like I said, like that's just not what I was saying. Like, what is your niche, right? Like, what can you bring to the table in your business that other people that you can't get at every other apparel business? I think is a good question. How you approach like your day to day and that kind of stuff too. I mean, it's kind of interesting with us because we are like trying to help someone start a business and grow their business. So we're asking them like businessy questions. But I think that for if you have your own business, that's not really, people don't really care, right? So like, it's like, it would be a matter of like, what can you bring to the customer? Like, that's another one. Duds by Dudes had a really good quote. Like, their motto is count on us, right? Like, we're always going to deliver, and it's really important to us that we deliver on what we say, which is kind of funny that that's a competitive advantage. This is what he said. Like, it's funny that it's a competitive advantage now to just do something you say you're going to do, but it is now. And so they lean on that. And so I think something like that would be like a good question to ask yourself and like kind of have like for content.
But again, it kind of comes back to giving a real answer. I think if you're listening to this, writing it down, tell the truth, because you know, like with Duds by Dudes, it's like, yeah, I wanted to make beer money. But there's lots of people that are like, I'm going to support the company that wanted to just make beer money, because they'll be like, they respect the answer, the fact that they're being very truthful about it. But I also like, why not? That's a great answer anyway. So don't just feel the need to like make up something because you think it sounds cooler.
I mean, that's true for a lot of businesses, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, being authentic is always king. I try to be like, not just in like video, but in general to anyone. Like I try to be like as authentic as I can. Like, I mean, I gave away my lighting right there. Like I could have been like, well, you know, I have, you know, this great studio. Nah, man, I'm in this apartment in Pittsburgh, and I'm not like this crazy. I mean, I'm flattered by all the things you guys said about me, but I feel like I'm very far from, you know, a high end like video producer right now. Like, I think that I have a long way to go still. And I'm looking forward to that. In each project, I like to get better and better. And the cool thing about working at Stalls is that we have like so many brands, right? So each brand kind of gives me an opportunity to like try something new. Like the Hottronic stuff like has been like stuff that like totally different than what I worked on like Transfer Express. Transfer Express was all about like positive energy, like helpful, happy tips and to grow your business. And like some silly stuff too that I would do like Facebook posts of, but like the other brands like Stalls is very like commercial, I feel like. And so like doing like, you know, like commercial content, although we've kind of gotten a little bit more, that's not true. I'll take back what I said about that Stalls TV, because they kind of are like a big melting pot now, especially like some of the stuff that Kelly and Jenna do is like very different than what the stuff like Josh does. So that's going to kind of a melting pot, but so just being able to grow and develop has been really cool and a really cool opportunity to be here. And I think that would be a good approach for everyone that is watching, like regardless of video or not, like for your business or not, you know, just keep trying to make yourself better at everything you do.
To be honest with you, I think that's a pretty good way to finish this podcast. Yeah. That inspirational speech from Vince there, that has wrapped perfectly. Unless you have anything you want to add.
No, I was just going to say, as a kind of piece, a complimentary piece to this one, is to go back and listen to the podcast that you and Kelly did a few weeks ago about the actual, more specifically about getting yourself in front of camera and the kind of baggage that comes with that. There's a really, really interesting piece that would work as a very nice companion piece to this one.
Yeah, we sort of dive more into, for everyone listening that might be interested in that, we dive more into how to, it's like more like the personality side of it. So like Vince was saying about how to approach storytelling and how to, you know, who do you put in front of the camera? What do you want the finished product to look like? So yeah, agreed. Thank you for that. Vince, thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast. I think your comments and insights are super helpful to anyone that's starting, growing, whatever it is they're doing with their video, and hopefully they'll go back and check out all the cool videos that you've made for inspiration as well.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. This is awesome. I love what you guys are doing. I watched a little bit of that Kelly one that you were talking about. It's really cool to hear from her and like how she overcame like you know, getting past the camera and like not in like her unique style, not wanting to have a script, like really cool stuff. So definitely check that one out too. And thank you guys so much for having me.
Anytime. I'm sure it won't be the last time you're on the podcast. And thank you, as always, to all of our watchers and listeners. Don't forget to like and subscribe on whichever platform you are watching on. And we'll be back next week with another Garment Decorators podcast episode.